From the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, we hear a little bit more about that vision that we each desire to have. Let us now prepare our hearts to receive this gospel according to Mark. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What we find in this passage is that Jesus is on the way through Jericho with his followers. And he's been hard at work reaching out to those in need, teaching those he encounters, and specifically targeting those that are different, that the rest of society has shunned. And as he is leaving Jericho, we see him encounter this blind man by the roadside. Now, one thing is important for us to note is that in that day, those that were blind and disabled and otherwise incapable of providing for themselves often found themselves as beggars, because they had no other means of support. And despite previous instructions to care for the least of these, and we see this mentioned throughout Scripture, despite previous instructions to care for the least of these, such as the blind, many of those who were near Jesus on this day, who were walking with him, they shouted to that man, "Be quiet, don't bother him, he's too busy. He's got other things going on. Don't bother Jesus. Just be quiet." But Jesus was listening, as he always does. He was listening. And the man's cries, his sincere cries, fell on the receptive ears of our Savior, who intentionally sought to reach out to those that everyone else had shunned. We look back through the Scripture and we see so many places where Jesus made that intentional effort to be around people that everybody else considered an outcast and kind of put over here, or they hid, or they walked by, or they ignored. But Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus chose to serve these people. And then as the man got up, because Jesus heard his cries, the people with Jesus said, "Be quiet." Jesus heard the cries, told the man, "Get up and come over here." So then, of course, the people that were with Jesus went over and said, "Hey, he's calling you. Come over here. And do it in a hurry because he's busy." And then Christ just frankly asked the man, "So what is it that you want? What is it that you want? What is it that you need?" And the man, from the bottom of his heart, and just imagine how he said this, "I just want to see again. I just want to see again. Because I'm blind. I've been blind. And I just want to see again." And you know, this man knew who Christ was. I mean, he recognized him as the lineage of David, as Jesus of Nazareth. And he knew that if he could only have his words fall upon the ears of our Savior Jesus Christ, then everything would be okay, that he would see again. And in Christ, in believing this man's faith to be sincere, said to him, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well." And then the man went along the way with them. Suddenly he could see again, and he went on the way with them. Throughout Scripture, in so many places, we see reference to blindness and sight and vision and in seeing. Jesus healed so many that were blind, both physically and spiritually. And in one instance, in Acts 9, chapter 9, verse 8, we recall the conversion of a person named Saul to the one that we more better knew as Paul. We know that Saul had been one of the greatest persecutors of all times for Christians. He was one of the prime enemies that people just feared, and I don't want to use the word hate, but there was so much fear that they did everything they could to stay away from him, because everything about him was attacking the Christians. Everything about the Christian movement was much to the dismay of Saul. But however, we know that on a Damascus road one day, a brilliant flash of light took his sight. And what happened next, as we hear in Acts 9:8, is that Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. You see, Saul had been guilty of spiritual blindness. And now he was enduring a physical blindness, a temporary physical blindness. But spiritually blind, he had failed to see the error of his ways. He had failed to entertain the efforts of those who sought to bring him the truth in Jesus Christ. And he was oblivious to the glory and the truth in Christ that was available. And what it is that Saul wanted in life was to live in a self-serving manner, conform to the world, all about him, all about his own thoughts and ideologies, rather than anything any bigger. He intentionally persecuted those who were Christians. And brothers and sisters, essentially, he was spiritually blind. Through the physical loss of his sight, he had that opportunity to see more clearly in the real truth. And of course, we know that his sight was restored physically. He could see. And as this all came about, not only was his physical blindness cured, his spiritual blindness was cured. For we know what happened next, that Saul was converted to a professing Christian and became Paul, who was one of the greatest apostles of all time, and become responsible for preaching and teaching and leading so many to the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Went from one extreme, totally no clue, not able to see what was here, what was in the Word, what was in the teaching of our God and our Savior, to one who was very knowledgeable of what it meant to be in close relationship with Christ and in that covenant, and what it meant to put his own life on the line so that he could preach the gospel. And we know he went from being spiritually blind in his own little shelter and own little shell to being having clarity of vision with his spiritual connection with the Lord. But then suddenly he was put into prison, and he was beaten, and he was tortured and had a difficult life, because he was standing up for Jesus Christ, because truly then he could see. The faith of the blind man in Jericho made him see again. And then, of course, we know Jesus placed saliva on his hands and touched the blind man in Bethsaida and made him see again. Along the Sea of Galilee, Jesus cured many of the blind and caused them to see. And as we look back through the Scriptures, we see so many of those examples of physical healing of the blind. But I say to you this, that there have been a lot more that have been cured of their spiritual blindness through Jesus Christ. Just like happened with Saul, there have been so many that have been cured of their spiritual blindness, because Christ is that one that illuminates the darkness, and he is that light that truly causes us to to see. I ask you this morning, where is it on our daily walk? Where is it on our daily walk that we encounter those that are spiritually blind? Maybe it's in our own lives. Or maybe it's those that we encounter every day. Maybe we encounter them in our families, in our workplace, at the grocery store. Maybe we encounter them just by chance, some chance meeting, somewhere we may happen to be. So what is it that, how is it that we recognize those that may be experiencing that temporary, and it is temporary because Christ is the answer, but that temporary spiritual blindness? Perhaps it is those who fail to see the importance of reaching out to the least, the last, and the lost. Those that have means and that are not helping. Those that have time and are not serving. Those that pretend that these over here don't exist, and that these over here shouldn't be in church, and that these over here should take care of themselves because they put themselves in that situation. Maybe that's the one who's spiritual blind. Or maybe it's in the life of one who has yet to profess Jesus Christ as their Savior. We each can think back probably in our own lives to that day, that moment, whenever that light went off in our head and we realized that, you know, I can't do it alone. And that, yes, maybe I've been coming to church a long time, but I finally get it now and understand that I have to profess Christ as my Savior and quit trying to do things myself. And that I got to give Him that all. And that I have to trust in Him completely. And we've heard those words sung in a couple hymns this morning. That I have to trust in Him completely. Maybe we need to offer Christ to more people. Because quite frankly, I don't see how people do it. I don't see how people do this thing that we call life without Jesus in their hearts. Because it's just simply too tough. So maybe it is that one who has yet to profess Christ as Savior. Or possibly it is the misguided youth. Maybe that's the spiritually blind. The misguided youth who seek satisfaction in drugs, alcohol, and sex rather than anything else. And that kind of sounds a little similar to some of the others we've read about in the Bible, Saul included. I mean, it's all about me and right now and what makes me happy rather than what tomorrow holds. Or possibly that spiritually blind is the one who places greater value on how big their house is or how nice their car is or what their income looks like or what their clothes look like rather than the value of an eternity. Maybe that blind is someone that you know. They're spiritually blind. Maybe it's somebody that you know that just don't seem to get it about Jesus. Or maybe they don't seem to understand the value of being in connection and Christian fellowship and being in church and being part of the community of believers. Or it could be that Christian, the one who professes themselves as a Christian, who has yet to move past that basic understanding that we spoke about a couple weeks ago. Or maybe it is that one who fails to fully engage in serving and in witness and in giving and attending. But the point is the spiritually blind could be anybody. The spiritually blind could be any of these that I've mentioned. It could be anyone that we encounter in our lives that just doesn't fully understand. It could be those that we encounter in our lives who had full clarity of vision, but all of a sudden something happened that darkened their sight. And they had that difficulty seeing, and then suddenly they need a light to shine to help them see more clearly. Maybe their vision become blurred because the lines become blurred, and maybe they need something to bring that light back into focus. Or maybe their vision has become challenged at a distance, and they need something to help them see more clearly in the distance. Brothers and sisters, what I tell you is that the glasses and the binoculars and the flashlight are not the answer. The answer is in the Word of God. The answer is in the Word of God, for truly that's where our sight is restored. That's where our vision is made more clear. And what we know is this. What we know is that our prayer must be that we see more clearly. And as a body of Christ, we must have the courage to offer this deeper vision of the risen Savior to those that we encounter. We must invite those that we encounter to a change. Perhaps we invite them to church to visit with us. Perhaps we invite them to come work some mission with us, some service project with us. Or maybe we just ask them if it's okay to pray with them. And we stop what we're doing right there and we pray together. But either way, we have to offer that change that others may see again. Because we're reminded that it's not always just the faith of the individual who can make a person well. Sure, we heard that this morning in the words that we shared from the gospel. Well, your faith has made you well. But I also remind you that the faith of friends, the faith of the body of Christ, the faith of this church can make a person well. As we recall that one story where the man was lowered through the roof of his house by his friends at the feet of Jesus. His friends loved him so much that they picked him up and they lowered him down, because if he could only get close to Jesus, then things would be okay. And Jesus said, "The faith of your friends has made you well." Today, let us be in prayer. Let us be in covenant to see more clearly. Let us be the instrument of light in the hands of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to illuminate the darkness. Let us move past the complacent thoughts of everything being okay on the surface just because they look okay. Let us look deeper into the hearts and souls of those that we encounter. Let our souls be enlightened. Let us be the light of Christ, and let that light radiate in our lives to the point that others will question what it is that created that clarity in our vision. Let us, as the body of Christ, move out of the shadows that we may tell our story. Let us, as the body of Christ, move out of the shadows that we invite others to church. And let us, as the body of Christ, be that instrument of change. Praise be to God.